Yo. Oh, man. Already got me cracking up. That's crazy. Welcome back to the Stewed. Welcome back to Table for Who podcast. This is a podcast for you, me, and anyone in between. Hey, y'all, I got a special guest on the pod today. Man, I'm super excited to hear his story. For y'all who haven't heard his story, like, I'm really excited for you guys to just take a peek into the life of my cousin, man. My cousin Elias Edwards up on the Stewed, the podcast today, bro. Yeah. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling. How you I'm feeling? All right. You know, woke up about 40 minutes before this.
40 minutes. That's crazy.
I was up late. You know, I got the game on. I was just chopping it up with some friends. I really didn't have to do anything. I was up late.
Yo, for y'all who's listening, man, this podcast is gonna be crazy. I'm gonna be laughing a lot. My boy we've been riding together since we were basically born, so it's all love here. But yeah, bro, I wanted to kind of talk to you about, I mean, what the premise of this whole podcast is about, which is anybody is welcome at the table. You were kind of the inspiration for that, not gonna lie. Not gonna hold you. You actually made this whole thing even a reality. So the reason I say that is because we had a conversation. We were just chopping it up one day, and you basically had said that from the context of like culture, mm-hmm. like the churches don't actually make you feel like welcome or feel like you can be who you are without being like judged.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, from there, I was like, how many other people actually feel like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many other people actually feel like, man, I feel like there's this like level of like perfection that I have to have in order to step into your building. So I kind of wanted to talk about that first and foremost. Like, bro, like, can you go into like depth of like why you even feel like that?
Well, honestly, I mean, when we're all kids and you grow up in a, I don't want to say like hardcore Christian or Catholic, it doesn't matter what religion you're part of, really. But when you grow up in a hard religion-going household, even if it's not that hard, you still end up going to church. Maybe your parents were like, all right, well, when they're young, we're going to get them into church. We're going to take them until they're this age. And then when they're this age, they can start deciding for themselves whether or not they're going to go to church or not. Maybe you weren't so fortunate and your parents were like, you're going to church regardless if you're in this house. It doesn't matter what age you are. You could be 10, 12, 13, 22, 25, 30. If you're in the house, they're going to make you go. Then there are some people out there. I know that there are some people out there that go through that. But for me, it was growing up, we were little. You know that we'd wake up, hop in the bath or something, have our clothes ready, go to church every Sunday, wake up, repeat. And it's not that that was a bad thing. As a little kid, you don't really understand what's going on. You're just not saying no. You're just doing what you're told because well, that's your mom or your dad. And what they say goes. So they say, get ready. All right, I'm getting ready. You just tag along. And then you're sitting there for Lord knows how long, maybe an hour, maybe two, maybe even three. Some churches go all day, which, hey, I mean, I love them too. Me personally, though, I don't know. I don't. I'm hungry. So
I'm hungry.
But I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to church. I don't feel there's nothing wrong with going to church. Of course, there's nothing wrong with going to church. It's just when it becomes a routine, you just start to notice some things. Like, I've been to a lot of churches, and that's because I moved a lot. Like, and I mean a lot. If you know that already, I've been moving all over the place since I was a kid. Yeah. And every now and again, we find another church, and they all, in a way, talk about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just using different words or using different scripture and different real life examples. And I was just noticing all these things. And I was just watching, because I may not have been able to fully understand, because I was obviously still developing and I didn't know what I was hearing or what it was really pertained to, but I was still noticing some things. And I was just like, okay, so I'm at church. It's cool. They're talking about this. It makes somewhat sense. I can only understand so much again. And then you leave the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you interact with the people who are also churchgoers who claim to be, you know, a hardcore part of their religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way they behave or act isn't even reflecting what is taught or what's learned or what's said. And you're just a little confused. Like, I can only speak on Christians because that's the only religion I know.
For sure.
Christianity. I can't speak on any other religions, but maybe some other people may have some examples of that. But for Christianity, I know that, I'm sure a lot of people know, there are people out there that will try and do everything by the book and maybe take some things a little too literal and forget the core basics. Like, I remember we talked about it before, with, people part of the LGBTQ community or maybe some people who didn't have so nice of an upbringing, maybe had a tough upbringing and got to where they are now. And people are just so judgy. They're just so judgy. And I mean, I don't understand. I mean, okay, it can be off-putting for maybe a second.
For sure.
But a second, and then these are still just people.
Yeah.
These are still just people who came to get the same thing that you came to get. they just want to hear the word. They want their life to get better. They want to follow in the footsteps of the Lord and just keep going. But then there's some people that are just like they think that some people don't deserve it for some reason. Like they behave like some people don't deserve it. Like, oh, if you like girls, then God don't like you. Who said? Did you ask him? Did he tell you that when you were sleeping? That doesn't make any sense to me. Or if you like boys, oh, guess where you going? Do tell me, because you keep judging. You finna follow suit, apparently.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense. You can't speak on something unless you are the person who wrote the words down. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. No, like, that's real.
It doesn't make any sense to me. So, of course, I still follow Christianity. Of course, I'm still a part. Am I a huge part? Do I go to church every single Sunday? No. Mm. Do I read scripture every single day? No. Should I? Yes. Could I? Yes. Do I? No. Does that need to change? Yes. And sometimes I do feel guilty about it. Because I'm just sitting here looking out my window. I could be practicing scripture. And I could be studying and gaining some more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
On my faith, so I don't look like I'm just blindly following without fully understanding what it is I'm following. But I do have, I would say, a basic understanding of what's going on. I do know right from wrong, just as many people my age do.
Right.
I still know what to do, what not to do, what's frowned upon, what's not so much frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian who's not so, I'd say, religiously involved, you definitely find yourself finding loopholes through the rules that are set in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I mean, there are some people out there like, man, I could do whatever I want to do, man, as long as I repent, you know, I'm cool. But if God sees you thinking like that, he's like, oh, so you know you shouldn't be doing it, right?
Right.
And it's just like, that's not how repenting works.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's crazy. There's a whole lot that goes into it. It's wild.
For sure. So, yeah, I know I can attest to, like, especially for us, I feel like growing up, it was, all right, like, you already know it's Sunday. Like, get your butts up. Let's go. You know, go through your rotations. And first of all, like, for context, we lived in the same house for a good bit of our childhood.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like we didn't see each other every day. Like, this was an everyday routine for us. Like, we had a routine. I think it's crazy too, like, kind of to your point, I feel like us as Christians, we can become so judgmental because we think we have it all together. And it's like, no, one person had it all together. And that's the person that we're trying to aspire to be, but we're never going to be him.
Very true.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where we can kind of like get lost in ourselves is like, oh man, like, well, if I'm following this person, And this is like, again, from our perspective, this is the way that we need to go as far as our faith, then I'm cool. Like, I don't have any issues or problems that I need to like work through. And it's like actually opposite. You read the Bible, it'll tell you like, no, the people that he's like correcting and like trying to make sure that we have a steady and level head on ourselves is the people who think that they know it all. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's never the people who are stepping into it and trying to like figure it out. It's the people who think that they have it all together. And they're like, oh yeah, like I got it all together. Like I follow Jesus, that this is my life. This is how I'm supposed to live it. I'm cool. But for everybody else, since you're not doing what I'm doing, you're the ones who need help. And it's like, nah, bro, we all need help. It's not just one person or the other. It's we all need it. Which kind of leads me to like my next question for you. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel like you were stuck in this space of like comparison with other people?
Well, I'd have to really think on that. I mean, the only time I've ever really compared myself to another person, I'd say religiously, would be the only really hardcore, like, person, the only really person I knew that was really, really into it, that wasn't me, mm-hmm. was you, actually. Because, you know, I saw you getting involved and whatnot. I saw you getting more and more into it. I saw it become something that you were actually really passionate about. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I did love that. But when it came to faith and whatnot, and I just like look at you compared to what I do, I'm just like, I ain't really doing nothing, huh? You know what I mean? it's just a realization when you see somebody really in it and actually enjoying it and actually, you know, being a part of it like they should be. Mm-hmm. Not like walking around like Jehovah's Witness, knocking on door to door or whatnot, but just being in it, and you're just like, oh, okay. Because like there are people who represent it, and then there's people who are actually about it. Mm. And you're definitely somebody who's actually about it. Anybody who knows you knows that you're definitely somebody who's actually about it. I could honestly say, without any shadow of a doubt in my mind, that you're someone who's actually about it. Mm. So, I don't know. I feel like, obviously, when I see you enjoying what you're doing, when I see you talking about what you're talking about, when I see you expressing your love for the Lord and everything that he's done for you, everything he's granted you, I'm just like, you know, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing to do. You know, it's not hard to just follow in the footsteps. You know, it's not hard to just follow the rules. But people, how do I put it? It's like, you know how when, you know, when let's say you're, I want to say like maybe preteen, let's say 12, 13, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say at the time, I'm sure many people in churches know what I'm talking about. You know how when they say, if you're ready to give your life to God, come up to the altar, come stand up here.
For sure.
All that jazz, and they'll have you. I can't tell you what they have you say. I've never gone up there myself, but they say, come up here and, you know, we'll get you settled. I'll put it that way. Get you settled. We'll get you right. Yeah. I don't think they say we'll get you right, but they, you know what I'm talking about.
No, for sure. Yeah. It's kind of like the altar call where they're like, hey, do you want to accept Jesus or not?
Right. Right.
Then you go through that whole prayer.
Right. And it's when you go up there and you pledge that day, right?
Yeah.
And then you go home Monday through Saturday, do everything that you stay doing regardless. Mm. And then if somebody questions you on it, they're just like, oh, but I'm saved though. It's like, do you know what that really means?
Yeah.
Do you know what that really means?
Yeah.
You can say the words. Anybody can say the words.
Right.
But if you don't actually act on it or act in it, what are you doing? Which is why I've never done that. Mm. And that's why I haven't been baptized. Because I know if I go up there and I say those words and then I go home, do the same tomfoolery I've been doing since day one.
Yeah.
Or if I get baptized and I don't change nothing about my life, what was it for?
Yeah.
You know, it's just wasting time.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't even know.
That's good though. Like you said, you know, we can go and say the words, but if like our heart really isn't in it, and that goes for like anything, like we can say the words like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to finish this project, but your heart not in it, you're not finishing that project. Like at you're all. Not going to do it. And like, I think for all of us, especially the folks that are listening, it's the reason why he can see me live it. The reason why you can see me live it is because it actually reached my heart. Like this isn't just hearsay. This isn't just words that I'm throwing up on a screen. Like from my personal experience, from my life, this is actually what has come about it, right? Following God, following Jesus, like I speak from a very real personal experience. And I think for a lot of people, a lot of us and why we get like burnt out, because I had moments where I was burnt out by the church too. Like I was like, all right, y'all say the same thing, but y'all don't actually live it. Like I've had those experiences, but the difference between me and I'd say any like regular churchgoer, depending on who you are, is I crave a relationship over my religion.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. I know I'm supposed to pray. I know I'm supposed to go to church. Cool. That's religion. That's culture. That's what the church has organized in order for us to continue in our faith.
Mm-hmm.
What really like helps us actually feel like we're connecting with God, like we have those deep revelations where we can actually like start acting on the things that we're saying, is when we have a relationship. Like with you and me,
mm-hmm.
there's been certain moments where I've messed up or I've failed to meet you in some form or capacity. But if we never had talked about that, I would have never known how to show up for you better. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It, because of our relationship that we're so close. And I think a lot of people miss the idea, like Christ came and yes, he died. He did all of these things for us, but he came to have a relationship, to at least offer that as something that's on the table. Like, yeah, I actually want to know you. I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me so that we can actually walk with each other. And that's just, I don't, especially from me to you, like, bro, I don't want you to ever feel like you're not there. You know what I'm saying? Or you feel like you're not reaching what you need to reach. We all have different journeys. We all have different paths. And for you to say, like, because you see me doing what I'm doing, you have to like measure up to that. Like that's so wrong and it's so false. And I want to tell you, like, your story is your story, bro. And who you are is who God wants you to be. But there's also that part of him who wants to know you more. And that's a very real invitation where he doesn't put pressure. And I think that's what the church does. Yeah. They put pressure on you to follow Jesus because it's like everybody else in the building follows Jesus. Then they call you to raise your hand or call you to come up to the altar. It's like, oh, you don't? Let's say the prayer. Let's say the anthem. Let's say the chant so that you can be saved and follow. And it's like, well, first of all, that's pressure.
Right.
And I know Jesus, and I know that he would never put pressure on me to say yes to something. Every single time, especially in my faith, it's about a choice. Right? Yeah. Like, I'm going to choose to follow you or I'm going to choose not to. And I think that sometimes we can miss the fact that people need time to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
People need grace in order to make that choice, which we sometimes don't give. But no, bro, I appreciate that like outlook on it. Because even for me, like that helps me think about so many other people who might be in your position.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, if you feel that way, how many times have I been in a position where I've made somebody else feel like that? Like, that's so wrong. I don't want to be the kind of person that makes you feel like pressured into it. I don't want to make you feel like you're not owning up to who you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's far from the truth, bro. You know my story.
I know.
You know a lot of the things that I didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't have to get into it either. You know what I'm saying?
That was good. I was just like, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But no, Another one of my questions, though, for real, is, do you, is like your relationship with Jesus, like, how would you like describe that, like, right now?
Well, right now, I say when I think of my relationship with Jesus, I view him as, I guess, a invisible force that's just guarding me wherever I'm at.
Mm.
You know, because, you know, I will say that amongst all the things that we should do as Christians, quote unquote, should do.
Mm-hmm.
As Christians, I definitely will say, I pray all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I pray all the time. I try to. If I forget to pray, I do feel bad. I'm just like, oh man, I'll apologize in the next one, you know?
Yeah.
I'll apologize in the next one. I pray all the time, and it's mainly for protection over me and my family, and over this delicious food I'm about to eat and whatnot. So, you know, I do a prayer all the time. But when I think of Jesus, I think of an invisible force that's just watching over me wherever I am. Whenever I leave the house,
mm-hmm.
or whenever I go to work, whenever I go to the store, whenever I go to hang out with friends, and he's just there watching me. Does that mean that nothing bad's going to happen to me? No.
Right.
But I will say that it does give me some comfort and give me some security when I do leave the house. Cause mm-hmm. I mean, something does happen to me, or if a random person decides to attack me, there's not much I can really do about that.
Yeah.
I could be like, man, can I take a bite out of my food first before you know? All right. I mean, it's fine. It's good. It's whatever, you know, no last meal. It's whatever. It's fine.
That's crazy.
It's like, oh man, it's like, you want to rob me right now? But I just got this chicken sandwich. Gosh. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's definitely a lot of scenarios that you could be put in.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you pray to God and you have your time and you think, all right, well, this could happen. But hey, I got God there watching over me. So
yeah.
The chance of it happening, slim to none, you know?
Yeah.
In reality, that's not true. But if it gives you that peace and that security, absolutely. You
for
know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I definitely feel like once you truly believe that you got God watching you like that,
mm-hmm.
every move you make, everywhere you go, you will definitely feel more secure in the things that you do. And you'll definitely feel more willing to do things that maybe you wouldn't do because you were scared to.
For sure.
So that's why I describe my relationship with him right now. It's just like a dad. I got a dad watching me right now. I'm cool.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, going into, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things that I kind of like push people towards before I say anything about the Bible, you know, since being a youth pastor and everything and having these conversations, like relationship over religion is something that I really value, and like true discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I tell the kids as much as I possibly can is like, y'all, like, prayer, it do work when you actually believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like, for where Alyssa and I are, where our life is, I would not be here in this moment if I had not prayed and believed it. And I think there's something very powerful to that, because that's like our direct line of communication. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. when I pick up the phone, I know you're going to answer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like having that, like you said, security, knowing that, like, oh, I got God on my back. Like, I got, well, I mean, but when you have him over you and over your life, and you like, you actually believe that, like you said, I can walk a little bit more freely. Don't mean nothing ain't gonna happen to me.
Yeah.
But at least I know, like, he's got me. If it does, whatever happens. And I think that's really cool especially for you and sharing that with other people. Cause I think that I think some people think that prayer is botched, and they're like, man, what's this going to do for me? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's really cool. And you said it's like a dad watching over you.
Uh-huh.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that, because obviously.
You want to talk about that?
Obviously. because I want to, like, you obviously didn't have much of a father figure growing up. So did you end up finding one or somebody to look up to, or are you still, like, kind of just wrestling with that feeling of not having one?
I've had different mentors in my life who I think most definitely would be great fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Their children, however, handling me is something completely different. And mm-hmm. we both know that. So I've definitely had mentors who've helped guide me in the right direction,
mm-hmm.
keep me out of trouble and whatnot. I feel like they've definitely succeeded with that, with what they were trying to do, whatever they were trying to do.
For sure.
They definitely succeeded because I personally like to think I got a good head on my shoulders compared to other people. I might have a little screws loose, but that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a father figure, I think if you start life really, well, I don't want to say when you start life, once you become conscious of what's going on around you mm-hmm. in life and you don't have a dad there, and you keep growing up without one, and you mm-hmm. got your mom on you, and she's teaching you everything that you need to know. I don't think it's a bad thing, except for if you have bad encounters with dominant male roles.
Yeah,
in your life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because when you're the only male there and you're being raised by your mom and you're just sitting there with your sister and you're the only guy in the house, but there's another man there, you don't really know what to do. I don't want to say you default go to anger and aggression, because
for sure.
that's not true. That has to be provoked. But it's weird. It's different. It's different. And sometimes you don't always like it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being honest with you. So, yeah, growing up, I didn't have a whole lot of... I mean, they were definitely... men around who I will say tested me
mm-hmm.
not the best of ways growing up, and I feel like that has definitely affected me now, because now I will admit I do have a bit of a problem with male authority near me.
Sure.
And it's not because they're bad people or they're doing anything wrong. It's just because of me going through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whenever there's a dominant figure and I feel like they're like getting like too close, like in my personal space, or getting like, maybe I don't like the way they're speaking to me.
Sure.
I'll tense up, you know, I'll tense up and I will definitely get aggravated and angry simply because, you know, it's a real childish thing to say. It's like simply because what happened to me when I was younger, but it's a real thing. It's a
real for sure. thing.
That stays with you as you grow up. Like, I'm sure there's got to be some other people that definitely know what I'm talking about when I say this. Like, you're fine until this one thing happens, and that one thing could be so bad
mm-hmm.
that it just changes how you look at people forever.
Yeah.
And that can be anything. It can literally be anything. So when it comes to men, male figures that I've had in my life,
mm-hmm.
I feel like all of them weren't great. Everybody has their flaws, I know that, but some things just, okay, weren't acceptable, for one.
Sure.
And then other things are just, they're always, the one thing that they had in common with my mentors and whatnot mm-hmm. is that they were always working.
Mm.
They're always working, they were always busy. And I was like, this was like to have a dad, see him twice in the week, and then they gone, getting the bag up for the rest of it. It's like, yeah. You know what? I'm cool without it. I'm cool without it. I'll admit it. I like attention.
Yeah.
I understand I can't get it all the time, but where are you at? Like, what is
for sure.
you doing? I mean, yeah, you working, but like, yeah. what about me?
yeah.
I understand. Men are definitely, the men that I've encountered have definitely been in grind mode a lot of their life.
Mm.
And so that's really all they know. And I'm mm-hmm. like, hey, yo, cool. But I'd like to see you.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, hey, get your money up so you can spend it on me if you want, but like I would like to see you.
Yeah.
So yeah, when it comes, I haven't really found anyone who I would say I could call a good father figure. Maybe one person, but he's a workaholic too. Other than our pops.
Yeah.
Cause he up there. He's up there on standard for sure.
Yeah.
He's up there on standard for sure. But I mean, growing up, you find yourself lashing out because of some things. You might think it's one thing, it could be another. And the reality is, it could just be, yeah, you ain't got a dad, bro.
Yeah.
You ain't got a dad, bro. It's like, oh, man. Yeah. Do I think my life would have been different with a dad? Absolutely. There are certain things that I've said and done that would not have slotted if I had a dad in my house.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So
I think, to that point, too, you know, I mean, we kind of grew up similarly. I mean, I guess my dad he was there. I think it hurts more for me personally when you have a dad who was there, who picked you up, who, you know, loved you. And then around the time where you were kind of at your lowest moment, he like dipped.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like when my family lost Luke, it was like crap. Like I don't have anybody. You know what I'm saying? I don't have anybody to like leave me no more. And even though, like, again, like you said, there was flaws, like that was still my dad. Like I still, you know, had respect for him in some, you know, shape or form. But when I lost Luke physically, and then my birth dad, Miguel, he like kind of walked out around the same time, I was like, bro, I ain't got nobody left. You know, I can't just default back to nobody. And I think, like you said, our pops, he was probably, if not the most important figure for both of our sakes.
Uh-huh.
Just how he lived. Now, he was a workaholic too. And obviously we can see that from, you know, our family dynamics here and there. But overall, like he was really just a man trying to do his best.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for me, stepping into this space, like my wife and I, you know, Alyssa and I, we are 6 days away from having this kid.
Yay.
Yeah, bro. Like, but I think there's a level of like, if I can take anything from anything that I've seen and the mentors that I've had, it's like, you can work hard and you can also show up.
Yeah.
Like how you prioritize your life and what you're building is ultimately going to be what dictates how it looks. And for me, man, it's like, I know I need to work hard to provide. So I'm going to, but also I'm going to show up for my kid. You know what I mean? And I'm going to be there in the low points. Cause that's when I took a turn. That's when I did my 180. And I was like, all right, you know, lack of better terms, F everybody, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's because I didn't have nobody. It's like, well, so what do I need anybody? And having our moms around, it's one thing, right? But I feel like you and I, especially just having our moms, yes, we had discipline from them, but we also like learned how to be softies, like deep down. But then we go out into the world and into culture and it's like, nah, you can't be soft.
So it's
like, yeah. Like, so what am I supposed to be? Because I'm confused. You also not supposed to not have a dad, but guess what? You know, I'm in a predicament. Like, oh, but man, no, for real. And chill out, bro. And that's the thing though, like having you in my life as a brother, and then also just being able to walk and like again learn this relationship with Christ, because that's what it has been. I found this sense of peace knowing like, man, my father's really messed up, but also I can learn a lot from their mistakes. I can learn a lot from the good that they've done, and at a certain point. And I'm pretty sure if you haven't, you'll get there. But it's like, I just got to forgive and keep going. You know what I'm saying? I got to keep moving.
Yeah.
I can't dwell on what was or what could have been, because ain't nothing back there.
Right.
So no, I mean, I think that's really cool, and I appreciate you sharing that. You know, I kind of put you on the spot.
That's fine.
Know. Yeah. But no, I think like you said, I think people need to hear that. You know, not having a dad really can jack you up.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much I can say on that. But
yeah.
Again, we're talking about this idea of being welcomed at any table. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter your religion. It doesn't matter your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter the kind of culture you grew up in. Like, everybody is welcome at this proverbial table that is Jesus saying, hey, I want a relationship with you. And I want to hear from your perspective. When I say you're welcome at this table, what kind of feelings are provoked for that?
If I'm being real, when I hear you welcome at this table, I'm not gonna lie to you. I definitely start thinking of food, but I'm being so honest with you. But when I hear that, it's just like, you know, when you're a kid and everybody eating at Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, yeah, go eat at the kids' table. You won't eat at that table. That little plastic table with stains on it. And right. I don't want to eat at that table. It's just like, you finally accepted at the big table.
Yeah,
have the big conversations with the adults and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of feels like you're just being accepted as one. Like you're the same as everybody now.
Yeah,
you know. So you're here. You're the same. We want to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can sit. You can talk with us. You can eat with us.
Yeah.
You can drink some water with us. Water only.
Right.
Water only. Water. It's a nice little home feeling. It's just like,
I mean, that's real. I think if there's anything that this podcast would be, is exactly that feeling of, you are welcome here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to sit at the little kids table. I'm not going to spoon feed it to you either. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're going to sit at this table, there's going to be hard conversations. There's going to be great conversations. There's going to be conversations where we might butt heads. But at the end of the day, at the end of it, like, not to be, you know, fast and furious, but we family. You know what I'm saying? And stop laughing, bro. chill.
Oh, man.
Nah, but we are, man. Like, this is my family. Like, if you're sitting at this table, then I'm going to care for you. And I'm gonna love you for as much as you allow me to. And I hope we grow. I hope that would be the message here. Like, church has the way that they want to function,
mm-hmm.
and you know, different ministries will have the way that they function. But this one will be, we're simply talking, walking, and eating with each other. And ultimately, personally, I think that's what Jesus wants. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what he was aiming for, is that it didn't matter if you were Methodist or Baptist. It didn't matter if you were, you know, Mormon or whatever. Like, sit at the table and let's talk. I'm not going to judge you. You're not going to judge me. We're going to do some life together. And I'm glad that you feel that way. And I'll ask you a few more questions before we wrap up, mainly on just you. Like,
yeah. What? What? The problem.
You say it, Kate. No, I want to ask, like, is there anything that you're planning on doing for your life here in the next year or so? I know that you and I have talked about, you know, starting a gaming stream, but mm-hmm. is any of that actually in process?
Yeah, so no. not even gonna lie to you. I have not even taken the first step towards streaming. But right now I would say that I'm really focused on I need a job. I need to work. Mm-hmm. I need to work and get substantial money so that I can support myself, because you know, I do feel like I would, you know, gain a lot from having that sort of independence.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to work. There's a lot of things I need to learn. Like, yeah, I pay some bills, but okay. I ain't never paid for power. I've never paid for water. Mm-hmm. I've never paid for gas. I haven't had to do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I can work long enough to gain a stable routine so that I can, you know, not like I want to be able to work, live my life, and not worry about whether or not I'm gonna have heat when I go home. You know, like I don't want to. You laughing?
No, not, bro. I've been there. I know it.
It's just, you know, like I want to grow up is what I'm saying. I'm trying to grow up is what I'm working on.
Sure.
I'm just trying to get to that point that I feel like I should be at. Yeah. Not what society's saying a 20-year-old should be at. This is what I feel like I should be at.
For sure.
And I feel like I should definitely, at my age and my capabilities, I should be able to take care of more on my own and not have to worry about this or have to rely on someone else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, for me, yeah. I still want to. I put my studies on the back burner. Talking about like school and whatnot.
For sure.
I put that on the back burner. And I know some people might hear that and they'd be like, oh man, like, don't get behind on your studies. Don't just leave school and whatnot.
Yeah.
But me personally, what I experienced. School ain't nothing. I'm not gonna lie. At some schools, like, I understand when you're a kid, you're growing up all the way up to your senior year of high school, mandatory, you have to do it. Cool. So I accepted that a while ago. That was fine for me. I'm like, okay, summer's over, another school year, same old thing. Let's get it. And that's what I did. But I got to college and I'm sitting here like, okay, so went through all these years of school and did the same old thing every single day. And now college, the place where you're supposed to choose what you want to study, so that you can be whatever you want to be at. Let's say, for me, graphic designer.
Yeah.
Let's say you want to, all right, cool, let's do that. Get to school. All right, so this is what we got. You got to take an English class. You got to take a public speaking class. You got to take a science. You got to take a math.
Yeah.
For graphic design, certain aspects of math are important. Yes. However, why would I care how Sally's finna get to the moon or not? Personally, I don't. I wouldn't. I don't care. I won't care. Man. Never will care. If she get there or not is not up to me. That's not my journey. That's Sally's.
That's hilarious.
It's just, I came here to do art.
Yeah.
To put it simple, I came here to do art.
Yeah.
And I'm doing everything except. So you have all these classes. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you have your graphic design class at that part of the day, and then you have your painting class or your 2D design or your drawing or your ceramics, whatever you have at the end of you have it that part of the day. But oh yeah, did we mention you had to take psychology too? I'm out. Y'all be easy. I'm good. I'm not with it because I came here and what irks me is not that you barely get to spend the time doing what you came to the school to do.
Sure.
It's that I'm over here doing high school, middle school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I got to pay for it? No, thank you. No, thank you. And I'm sure there's people out there like, no, that's just the first couple of years. No.
Right.
No, I didn't like grades when I was in high school. I don't like them now. Do I understand that's a part of college? Yes, absolutely. But when you want to draw and put up canvases and just be so expressive and you're confined to your computer and your textbook and your journal, solve the math problems that only Einstein himself could have came up with, it's not motivating. And but the end goal, I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm stuck here, I ain't reaching it. I'm not reaching it. So me personally, I'll put that on the back burner for now. Am I going to go back to school? Absolutely. Is it going to be here? Absolutely not. I'll go study abroad or something. But here, can't do it. I just can't do it. Not when I have to spend money. And it might not even be my money. It could be the government's money. You know, you can get funds. You can get grants. You can get scholarships. It's all cool. The point is, you're spending money.
Spending
money to do the same thing you just did for your entire life.
That is so funny.
Like,
no, I mean,
that's a bad way of looking at it. I know it's not a positive way of looking at it, but that's how I see it.
No, that's so real though. I mean, and that's super real. Y'all, if you don't know, Elias is a very talented individual who is so good at just art and just making things out of nothing, pretty much.
I
completely agree. I think that we have certain skills, certain things that the Lord has actually placed on our lives that come easy. And it's like when you're putting all this extra stuff in, it's like, man, like, I don't even want to do it no more. And I feel like that's what culture will do is try to tell you who you're supposed to be versus who you are already. And so I commend you for that, bro. I didn't go to college, so it don't matter to me. I mean, it matters to somebody. It matters to somebody. No, but to me it didn't. And I am where I am today because I chose to continue to develop my craft and who I am. So I commend you for that. We're running low on time, and by time I mean my battery's about to die.
That's hilarious.
but I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for jumping on this podcast, jumping on this call.
Of course.
And being willing to just share your heart a little bit. It blessed me, so I know it's going to bless somebody else. For anybody else who is listening to this podcast, remember that the table isn't just for me, but it was made for you. And if there's anything that this podcast offers, it's for you to feel welcomed. So this is all for this episode. We'll see you again for the next episode. Any last words, my friend, before we close out?
How about I say, you're all loved. Yeah, you're all loved. Whether
beautiful.
You deserve it or not, whether you think you deserve it or not, whether you think you really are or not, you are definitely loved by somebody.